Hello and welcome to another episode of Spiritual Success. Today I'm talking to Stephanie Peterson, who is a full-time professional model based in Florida. Now, she also has a coaching business and she has her own podcast all about manifestation. So she's transitioning into more of the personal development world because she found that even though she had a successful career, she was traveling the world, making money, doing what she wanted to do since she was 15, she was missing that sense of purpose and meaning. Now, I think we can all identify with that feeling. And this is exactly why I wrote Living in Tune, to help people find their purpose and what they're meant to do in life. It's also why I have my Spiritual Coaching Academy program, to help people become spiritual coaches. It's why I have my Spiritual Business Bootcamp program, to help people build their spiritual business so that people can get into true alignment with what they really want to do and their purpose here on earth. Because that feeling is just horrible. And as Stephanie talks about in the episode, when you ignore that feeling, often the universe will start making it harder and harder for you to continue on that same path that you have been moving along, even though you've started to get the warning signs that things are out of alignment for you. As you keep trying and keep pushing without following your intuition and doing what you're really meant to do, then things might get taken out of your control. And she talks about how she started getting illnesses and taken down by all of these things because she was ignoring what she was really meant to be doing. So I think a lot of you are going to identify with parts of her story here. It was a beautiful discussion. She is a radiant soul, and I absolutely loved speaking to her. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Spiritual Success Podcast with me, Liz Roberta, a Hay House author and spiritual life and business coach. I'm here to help you harness your inner world as an entrepreneur so that you can unleash your full power and profits, taking you behind the scenes of your business and giving you everything you need to make energy a key part of your strategy for success. It's completely possible to have clarity, inner peace, and balance as you climb the ladder to 6 and 7 figures in your solo business. So let me show you how as we dive into another episode of Spiritual Success. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
No, you're so welcome. I have been so looking forward to this discussion because it's not very often you meet a professional model. Now, I know, I assume Instagram has changed things and maybe you can talk to that, but you are a proper full-time model, which is a rare thing. It's like me being a published author. People always want to talk about it because most people don't often meet published authors. So I'd love to start with that. Obviously, you now have a podcast and you teach about manifesting, but I want to start with your modeling career first because that's what you did first. So how did that all begin and what age did that begin for you?
So I was originally scouted when I was 15 through something called like Dare to Dream. And it's like a modeling scholarship where they pretty much give you $1,000, go to New York, and they set up all of these agency visits. And I had initially signed with an agency there when I was 15, and it was really hard to manage with school. I was still in high school. I didn't like flying by myself, and bless my mom who, you know, only worked part-time and was able to come with me for all of that stuff. But the agency kind of ended up being really toxic. And I was told like, if you want to come back out here, you have to lose 10 pounds. And like hearing that, I was 16 at the time. I was like, yeah, like maybe this isn't for me. And like, I was always very like tall, slender, like there's nothing to lose, you know? So I was really startled kind of by that. And I was like, you know, I've always been into psychology. I've always been into the mind. I'm going to go to school. And I was bio pre-med my first semester. I've always wanted to be a doctor of some sort. And then I switched into getting my PsyD, which is a doctor in psychology, essentially, but you just won't be able to prescribe medicine. And so I wanted to get into holistic psychology from there. But within my first semester, I had taken chem, and I was like, you know, like, I just can't see this being my life for another 8 to 10 years of schooling. I don't enjoy it. I can't pay attention. Like, I just, it wasn't for me. And so I started submitting pictures out to agencies again through online and, you know, Next in LA, it's a modeling agency. They have agencies worldwide with their, under their name Next. And they're like, you know, let us know when you're done with the school year and we'd love to like revisit things with you. And I was like, okay, great. So the school year ends. I'm like, yes, like this is my ticket. I message them. I'm like, I'm ready to come to LA. And they're like, sorry, we're no longer interested. And I was like, damn, okay. So that started and I was like, all right, I guess I'll do, you know, a semester online in the fall, just go to community school because the school I was paying for was a private Catholic school and I'm not Catholic, so I don't really know why I went, but it was like 25 grand for the semester. So there's two semesters. So it's like 50K a year. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay that again when I'm not really passionate about school. Let me just go to community school, save a ton of money and then move from there. And so I was working at a golf course and one of my girlfriends had sent me a message on Instagram and it was Too Faced Cosmetics and Wilhelmina doing a model search for their 20th anniversary campaign. And she was like, oh, like you should apply for this. I was like, oh, like I actually saw that earlier, you know, like I'll just apply and like see. And so I submitted my pictures and I was like hiding in the bathrooms, like on my phone at work, like submitting in like pictures and stuff that I like had on my phone or whatever, like selfies and stuff. And I got a call back that I had made top 100. And so then you go on and you talk to, I think it was the CEO of Too Faced. You did a FaceTime interview kind of with him and he was amazing. And then you kind of wait and see if you've made top 10 to go out to LA. And I had. So I was like, I was waiting to hear back at the time and I like had gone to my job and like I was a bev cart girl. So I was just driving around making drinks for guys and girls and, you know, bringing them snacks and whatever on the golf course. And my shift was almost done. And I remember like the sun was kind of setting and I was like going down this hill and I just had this feeling. I was like, you made the top 10. Like I just knew it like within me. I was like, I'm going to get the email. And I like got inside and like looked at my phone and like I had gotten top 10. And so that really started my entire career where I flew out to LA. I met like 9 other amazing girls. I actually worked a job with them, one of them randomly, like a month ago. And we hadn't seen each other since the challenge, which is kind of funny. But yeah, we spent like 4 days there. Every girl had a roommate. I met like one of my best friends. She was my roommate. And then you kind of like wait to hear back on like who won. And so I get an email like a week after I get back and they're like, hey, you know, like we want you to sign an NDA. Like you didn't win, but you can't tell anyone that, but we want to sign you for a year in with Wilhelmina for LA, New York and Miami. And so we're going to offer you a contract, a modeling contract, even though like you didn't win. And that was like part of the deal. You get like $15,000 and a modeling contract. And like, I really only wanted like, yeah, the money would be nice, but it was like always my dream to model. And so I was just like, okay, like that's freaking amazing. And they were like, well, we want you to start off in Miami and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, Miami, like I really wanted to go to LA, but I did start off in Miami and Miami is now where I currently live, despite like how much I dreaded going, but that's kind of how I got started. And just, you know, when I was building my career, like I moved to LA, I had only worked as a server. I didn't have a ton of money and I moved there with one of my best friends. We got a place together. It was more than I've ever paid in rent that I've could, like my rent in Minnesota was $450 a month. This was maybe $1,500 a month because it's LA and I had no idea how I was going to pay for it. So I just like started manifesting the crap out of jobs and like anywhere in my room I would look, I had signs like I make 10K a month. I'm a money magnet, like all these like affirmations and mantras that I just kept repeating. And like, I didn't think of the possibility without them. Like there was no other reality for me. Like this was it and it had to be it, you know, for me to succeed and for me to work. And so my first job ever was a 2-day swimwear campaign for $2,000 a day, which it's like $4,000. The agency does take 20%. So you get the remainder, but it's still, you know, that was my rent right there. And if I could just book one of those jobs every month, I could survive comfortably in LA. And then I just started working every week in LA. And like, my agents were amazing. I got along with them really well. But yeah, I feel like I'm rambling a bit, but that's kind of my story. And I just really, you know, even though I was told no, or that I had to lose weight, like there's times where I feel like it is about the timing. And like, if I would have been launched into it at 15 or right at the end of the year with like the wrong agency, I might not have had the career that I have now and that I've been able to build. So I think all the little puzzle pieces eventually fall into place. And even though you want something so bad in that moment, you can't see outside of it, like there are other and better opportunities out there for sure.
This was what I wanted to pick up on, the fact that you were 15 years old when your journey began. Like when I think of what I was doing at 15, I was getting drunk in the park. I was like, I was in my rebel era. So it's incredible that you got scouted so young, but to have to then face that kind of criticism, that's still around today? Or is that more of an old mentality that shifted in the industry?
It's definitely still around today. I have really been struggling with that the past year. I have always been a certain size my entire life. I've never really struggled with my weight. You know, if I ever felt like I was getting squishy where I didn't want to be, or like my clothes weren't fitting the way I wanted, I would just go to the gym and it was fine within like a week or two. But last year I went through a bunch of stuff over the summer and I just started partying, drinking, because for so long I felt like in modeling, like you have to take care of yourself. It's your job. Like you can't be going out all the time. You know, you can't cut your hair. You can't dye your hair without your agent's approval. You can't change your appearance. You can't get extensions or take out your extensions. Like you can't get tattoos. Like there's so many things that go into marketing you that you can't change. And so during that time period, I had left Wilhelmina for a year and I had went to Industry New York in LA. And I was brought back to Wilhelmina a year later because I was truly, to be honest, very over flying to LA all the time. My travel wasn't paid for because I was getting booked as a local. So I would find out 2 days ahead of time that I have to pay for an $800 ticket, and models have a 90-day pay period. So when you work the job, you have 90 days to get paid. So even if I was investing that $800, yes, I'll get the money, but is it 3 months from now? Is it 2 weeks from now? Like, you don't really know. And so I switched back to Wilhelmina and I just kind of went off the rails. I ended up getting like a bunch of hormone problems and I ended up doing like a Dutch panel, but I had essentially gained like 20 pounds within the span of a month just from not taking care of myself. I got sick and then I was like still going out and partying, and I just was in such a low place that I just kind of had this like F it all mentality. Like I was tired of being like perfect. I was tired of showing up online. I was tired of like just so many things. And it led me to act out of character in a lot of ways just because I was so alone in that sense. And like, you know, it's hard with your family not here. My family lives in Minnesota, so it's like a 4-hour flight. With work, I don't get to see them that often. They come down here when they can, but yeah, I gained like 20 pounds. I started having acne problems again, and it was, you know, you can't really work if you have acne, and you can't work when you don't look like your book. Women and like models invest thousands of dollars into getting the right imaging for their books and for their online portfolios to be marketed to brands, and I didn't have the same measurements. You know, my face was the same, but I didn't feel like myself. I didn't feel confident. And it did, you know, my agents never told me, you know, look, like you have to lose weight. They're like, you have to feel good in your own body. And that was their biggest message to me. And like, I just remember standing in the office and they were talking about like loving yourself. And I just like started crying because I was like so sad in my body and so disappointed in how my body's working and like functioning. And it's taken a really long time to accept that women do go through hormone changes, especially getting on and off the pill. And we do struggle with acne, and like models aren't perfect. And like what you see on social media is so far from real life. And like I've experienced it firsthand. And so also another thing is when I started modeling, Instagram was, it was so important to have a following. Like that's what a lot of people pushed. And so I would post every single day, like whatever got the most likes, I would push, like, you know, swimsuit pictures, like I'd post in lingerie, I'd post not like, like trashy stuff, but like modeling work that I've done, and it did really well. But that ended up with a mostly male audience, which now is not marketable, you know? So I didn't think about the fact of like building a community of women, and I really felt like I lacked that. And something as well, sorry, I have like a hair right there. Something as well is like when I did try to put myself out there, and I did try to, I just remember like I went home to Minnesota for Christmas, and I'd posted a caption that was talking about how I've struggled with depression and anxiety, and like my agent commented back and was like, you know, I don't think it's a good idea that you post stuff like that, because clients will think you're unstable. And so it was really disappointing because the caption itself was like kind of me overcoming that. It wasn't me being like, I'm so sad. It was me being like, you know, everyone experiences this. Like it's normal. Like I've always been an advocate for mental health, and just to get hit with like, don't post that. Like clients will think you're unstable. So like the time that I did try to show myself and build a community and connect, I feel like it just kind of got shut down by the modeling world. Because it's true, clients don't care like what you struggle with, what you deal with. Like they care about you showing up, you being kind of entertainment for the day and in a good mood. And of course, like no one wants to work with someone who's dealing with shit or like upset or, you know, quiet, or because a lot of times too, like if I'm quiet on set, people just think I'm bitchy. So it's like, it's a really tough like industry to navigate.
I know. I actually have a friend who is insanely beautiful, and she's had this problem her whole life. People thought she was a bitch because she was a bit reserved with new people, just because she was really beautiful, and it just wasn't true at all. But yeah, so much I want to pick up on there. I've always found it so interesting that models and actors have to really think about their body in terms of their career. And I always think I'm so glad that I get to eat this mac and cheese, or I can just get a tattoo on a whim, and I don't have to worry about that, thankfully, being in this business. But you're right. I mean, when you are a model or a performer of some kind at a high level, it is part of your job to train and to not get tattoos and to mm-hmm. eat well and all of these things. So I don't think people necessarily realize that, or they think, you know, it's all just completely natural and don't necessarily realize all the work that's going on behind the scenes to keep yourself in that shape. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting to hear, really interesting to hear all of the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And you started talking about manifesting. At what point did you start getting interested in spirituality? Were you a spiritual child, or did that come along in your teenage years? What has your spiritual journey been like alongside your modeling journey?
That's a really good question. I've always, in a way, been spiritual. I was raised in the church, and I believed in God for a long time. I got confirmed, and you know, that there was no other way for me. And it wasn't until I started like opening my eyes a bit more towards like manifestation and law of attraction. And it was my dad who kind of introduced it to me, because he had hired a life coach, Camille, and, you know, she had gifted him like rose quartz and, you know, introduced him to law of attraction. And we just started talking about it when I was 15, but I had always kind of had these like big life questions. And like, till this day, I still deal with it of like, why am I here? What's my purpose? What else is out there? Where do we go when we die? And it wasn't until I read like Journey of Souls that I really had a lot of peace in my mind about what the soul's journey is and where we go. And I do believe in reincarnation and like soulmates and like all of that stuff I definitely believe in, but it manifestation really started for me when I was 15, but I don't think I got a great grasp on it until I started my modeling career in LA. And it's only when, you know, I stop my practices and I stop being mindful and being grateful for what I have and like enjoying life that I'm really suffering. Hence, like last summer was just like when I didn't believe in manifestation. I was just like, why is this happening to me? Like it, just the circumstances I was in just did not make sense to me at all. And I'd just kind of like given up on my spirituality. And it wasn't until like April of this year again that I was able to, you know, like in a way I kind of felt like God had abandoned me or like source had abandoned me. And like, I felt like I was getting like no help. And in a way, I think it was because too, I wasn't asking for it. I wasn't spending my time being grateful for what I do have. I was so focused on like what I don't have and like what I was lacking. And it's all kind of like a coming back to journey for me. And I was just listening to this podcast today of like, when you feel like something's missing and like you're doing all the right things and you're like manifesting how you usually manifest and like nothing's working out or you're trying new things that are supposed to work and like you're just not seeing it, it's because you're missing that connection to source. And that just like hit me because I'm like, lately I've just been feeling that disconnect from source again. And like, what does that look like to rediscover it? What does that look like to like build the trust and build the, you know, I think of it as like a tether cord of like me and source and like source and all these other people. But yeah, it's definitely been a journey and I don't think it's a linear one at all. It like ebbs and flows and it's all over the place.
Absolutely. I've had to work on that relationship as well. So my dark night of the soul, which it kind of sounds like is what you're describing, happened in my teenage years and I was in such darkness. And I remember at night I started praying and I don't know why I started doing this, but I'm the same as you, went to Catholic school, said the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. So I always had that connection to God, even though I'm no longer religious again like you. But I started picking up praying when I was in my teenage years, I think because I was so sad and because I was so desperate. And at the end of the day, I would pray and I had some kind of routine around it. I think I said 3 things I was grateful for and 3 things that I wanted help with because I didn't think I could just ask for things. So I was like, I'll say 3 things I'm thankful for and then I'll ask for help with things. And just when I did that, I noticed a huge shift in my life, just when I started praying at night. And I didn't tell a soul. As I'm saying it now, I don't think I've ever actually said this to anyone, but I would pray every night and that helped me so much. And when you said about the dip in your mindset when you step away from your daily practices, again, same thing. It was in 2021, I stopped doing my daily gratitude journaling, which I do every single morning. I do it in a diary, a daily diary, so that I make sure I do it every day because there's a day with the date. And if I don't do it, I've got a blank page. So that's a really good hack to keep consistent. And in 2021, I stopped doing it because I was like, oh, I'm really busy. Like I think I just left it for a few days and then it kind of fell out of my daily routine. And then after a few months, I was like, I feel lower. I feel noticeably lower. Like my general mood is just lower. And then it clicked. Oh, it's because I'm not doing my gratitude journaling. And it's not like when I'm doing it, I feel amazing. But when I stopped doing it, I noticed that my general mood, like the baseline, was just lower.
Yeah.
It's so important to have those daily checks and balances in place just to keep ourselves in that good state of well-being. And it doesn't mean that it's going to solve everything. It doesn't mean you're going to feel amazing all the time. Mm-hmm. But my goodness, you notice a difference when you stop doing it.
Oh, for sure. I definitely do. And I get into this negative mindset of like, oh, like it's not going to make that much of a difference if I do or don't journal. And it actually does. And like what manifested for me when I was journaling and I was working through my limiting beliefs is like far more than what I'm manifesting when I'm not doing it. And so I think sometimes like it can feel taxing to journal for me every day, but like even just incorporating like a visualization practice of some sort or like cultivating gratitude or spending time like out in nature, like it's so cheesy, but I used to go to church so much. And in LA, they have like those big, you know, I can't remember the name of the church. It's like a VU Miami or something, but it's like these like upbeat type churches, and they always sang Hillsong United in the churches. And like today I like heard it in my drive and I was just like, oh my God, like tears, crying. Like it just makes me feel, even though I don't believe in like a traditional Bible sense God, I do believe in like God. I do believe in source. I do believe in higher power. And I just like, when I was listening to the song, I was just so sad that I've been so disconnected from it. And I just, listening to that makes me feel like, okay, like it's not just gone for me. Like I have the choice that I can connect to it whenever I need and whenever I want, and like to stop abandoning it when I think things finally get good and like that I don't need it anymore. Like you always need it, I think. It's like the journaling, like it's your baseline. It's your everyday.
Definitely. And what I'm noticing as well at the moment is that relationship of trust with source, God, universe, is like you said, it's not something that's always the same. And it's something that I'm trying to make even deeper and deeper, because I've always struggled with anxiety. So I got into holistic health when I got an anxiety disorder. And basically Western medicine was like, here, have some pills and go on your way. And I was like, And I was like, that's not a solution. So then I started looking at hypnotherapy, Reiki, acupuncture, all of that stuff. And that's when I really got into it. And what I found is that my anxiety was coming from the fact that I didn't fully trust my relationship with the universe. I didn't fully trust God. And so I felt a need to control things. The need for control was my ego trying to take hold of things because I didn't trust that it would be taken care of if I wasn't doing that. So I discovered within me that all of the anxiety was in all of the spaces where I didn't have a fully trusting relationship with God, where I didn't feel close to source. Mm-hmm. So that was huge for me, because I was already in this business at this point. Like I was a spiritual author. I was teaching people about spirituality. So to come to terms with the fact that I was still having some anxiety issues. Now, I haven't had a full-blown anxiety disorder for a long time, but it's still very much part of my makeup. I think I'm more anxious than like a regular person would be. And so that's a constant thing I'm having to work through. And of course, it's a massive gift because it's guiding me on my healing journey and I'm finding ways to cope and things that help me. And of course, I then share it with other people. But that anxiety within me and that need for control, which again, I've always had issues with, is all based around the fact that I didn't actually fully trust source. And the more that I'm surrendering, the more that I'm releasing that, the more that I'm leaning back, the more I notice that things just fall into place and I will be okay. And you mentioned about the money thing, and it's like sometimes you're like, how is it going to happen this month? How am I going to get the money that I need or to pay for this thing? Or how am I going to get this house? Like, my goodness, my husband and I had a huge drama earlier in the year. We were trying to find a house because we've been traveling for a year and a half, fell in love with this house, didn't get it. He got hit with a 25 grand tax bill because he was working overseas. Luckily, that was all a mistake and he didn't actually have to pay that. It was like out of the blue. It ended up being like 5 grand. But this is like all the same week. It was just one of those weeks, you know, when it's like...
Oh, I'm too familiar.
Exactly. And it was one of those. But through it all, I have learned each time that happens, because I've kind of had one, my car just broke down, which we talked about before I hit record. And when we get hit with these inevitable life things, I'm definitely less stressed than I used to be. And I'm definitely trusting more. And of course, my nervous system will still go crazy, like it inevitably will. But I think it's happened so many times now that it always works out okay in the end. It all falls into place eventually. I know that I always look back, and however the path has gone, I'm always grateful that it worked out the way that it did.
Yes.
But yeah, it's definitely a journey and an experience, and just learning to lean back into trust and surrender and let go of the control. But yeah, that was a huge lesson for me. And I know that will resonate with people listening. When we think we're really spiritual, we think we're really connected, maybe we're working in the field, but actually we still have anxiety issues or control issues. And that is all just a lack of trust.
Absolutely. And like lack of connection to source for me. Like I just... You know, I thought when I was starting this business and I like had invested like my last dollars literally into a coaching program that was four figures. And I was like, I just had such a fuck yes feeling that like this money's going to come back and I'm not worried about it. And, you know, even though like I do, like, I don't think our coaches know it all. I don't think any coach knows it all or any person, like everyone is growing and learning and experiencing and like they're taking you along that journey with them. And like, I don't think you have to be like 10 steps ahead to help someone. Like, you just have to be two. And so with like coaching, it's always, you know, I wanted to be a therapist and I wanted to be a holistic therapist. So it's like, this allows me to help people in a way that, you know, I'm teaching them like real life skills that they can carry on throughout their entire life without having to, you know, work with me forever. Like, that's not my goal. Like, I don't want to work with my clients forever. My goal is to like set you up with like a healthy base foundation that you always can like fall back on. And like, I'm not sitting here saying that I know everything myself. And like, even today, I had asked kind of, because I saw this TikTok randomly on Guardian Angels. Then I saw another girl who was like, oh, like, you guys have to try this. I'm like, okay, screw it. I'm just going to try talking to my guardian angels of like, give me a coincidence, give me something, whatever. And I was thinking, you know, over the past few days, like how just not connected to source I feel. Like, is this my issue? How do I get reconnected? And like, literally today on a podcast, they were talking exactly about that. And I've never heard people talk about that. And I was like, is this a sign? Like, is this my guardian angels? And I just heard yes. And I'm just like listening to this podcast. I'm like, oh my God, like she talked all about source and how to reconnect with source and like knowing that source is always there. And I'm just like, what? Like, I didn't even go searching for it. It just was like there. And so I was just like, okay, like it's really incredible that when you do ask for help and for support and for guidance, like you always get it. And it might not be like, if I wasn't paying attention, that could have just totally gone by. And I wouldn't have really noticed. And instead I'm like, okay, I'm looking for the signs. I'm watching, you know, I'm not desperate for it. I'm not waiting impatiently. I'm just watching. And so when I think you watch and when you pay attention to things, there's a lot of little coincidences in life and things that happen and redirections that really are like your angels and source, like pivoting you for what's in your highest alignment. And like, I even think getting sick to some extent, I haven't discovered the meaning yet, but I do know that like with modeling, it has felt very out of alignment sometimes. And I want to offer more to the world and more to people. And it's, you know, like one of my biggest clients, whenever I would work with them, I would get sick. Like I ended up with like a kidney stone in the Mexico ER. I ended up with like a swollen gland under my neck in Seattle or in Washington. Like just like weird things were always happening to me when I would work with this client. And then like I get sick working for two great paying jobs. So I'm just like, when the universe, you know, when you don't listen to the universe, I feel like it knocks until it like blows the whole wall down. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm just trying to make sense of what this all means. And like, I don't think I'm supposed to stop modeling forever. Like I had a job today and I was great and I have a job tomorrow, but like, what does this all mean? And like, it's all, you're always navigating through stuff. You're always learning. You're always pivoting. You're always being introduced to new people who offer new perspectives and new ways of thinking. So it's always a journey. I don't think that you're ever going to like get to the end and like feel a sense of completion. Cause like also two people talk about, oh, like once I hit the six figures or the seven figures, I'm going to be happy and I'm going to have it all. And my life just doesn't work like that, you know, at all. You have to have that inner sense of like peace and stillness and that connection to source. And like, I really think, you know, when I was in the car today, I was thinking about all the people that are disconnected from source and like myself as well. And like, how miserable those people usually are and how the ones who are truly connected to a higher power of some sort are at peace. And they have their moments, of course, but they just have like a deeper stillness, even in their energy. Like when you can experience it, like even if you're just in a room with someone, you know?
Absolutely. I totally agree with everything that you were saying. Was there a moment, because you've talked about your spiritual journey quite a bit, was there a particular moment where you decided you were going to start your new community, your new Instagram page, and start your podcast? Because obviously you've built up a huge Instagram following, which you've already alluded to with all the men coming to follow you. And you've got, at the moment we're recording this, you've got 344,000 followers on there. So what was the point that you decided, right, I'm going to start something new alongside the modeling? So there's always that transition period. You're going to start the new Instagram account, start the podcast. Was there a catalyst along this spiritual journey where that happened? What was the day you decided to do that?
It was truly another dark night of the soul. I had gone January through March, not really working modeling wise. The Miami, you know, after COVID, it was very fast because LA was closed, New York was closed, Miami was still kind of open. You could still shoot, you could still work. And like, I traveled more during COVID than I did in my entire career. Like, I was always, always booked. And now that, you know, COVID's kind of settled down, there's a lot of different trends going on in the modeling world where blonde and typically thin are not really popular at the moment, which is totally fine. So I just was, for the first time, like in my 6-year career, like was not working. And I was like, how am I going to make money? You know, like I was so stressed. I was so anxious. I was like, I have this money coming in from this job I did in Colombia. And I was listening to this podcast from my coach, essentially. And I didn't know who she was. And I've listened to so many podcasts of people who offer courses, and I've just never really felt called to buy. But I just kind of heard her story and related a lot, and I just felt so lost. I didn't know what my purpose was. I didn't know what direction I wanted to go in. And she kind of offered a manifestation / like starting your online business course for 12 weeks, and then you get access to everything for 6 months. And so I was like, this feels really scary to invest my last dollars in, but like, I really have nothing else to lose, because if I don't invest in this, like, what else do I have? Like, I don't have any other source of income. And not to say that like I couldn't go get a job, but also I have 1 year college experience, and like going from a job where, you know, you only have to work once or twice a week to make an income to sitting in an office, or just, it didn't feel in alignment to go back to serving or go get an office job or whatever. I was like, that's just not, once again, not my reality. I don't want that. If people do want that, that's great. Like, I'm not judging, but just for me and like what I want, it wasn't it. So I was like depressed, anxious. Like, I would lay in bed and just scroll on TikTok like for hours and hours and hours, because I just like didn't know what to do with my life. I had no idea what to do. I just like, you know, you can only see your friends and talk to your friends so much before, like, you know, I don't know. And I also don't like burdening people with like my problems. And especially because like, it's something that I have figured out on my own. And I was just so desperate. And like, when I heard her podcast, I was like, it just like randomly started playing one day. I don't even know how I found it. I was just listening, and she talked about her club, and I was like, maybe, like, yeah, I'm just going to do this. And so I was at the gym, and like, I remember texting my boyfriend, like, I'm investing in a $3,000 course. And he was like, are you sure? Like, you don't really have a lot of money coming in right now. I'm like, well, I know that. Thanks for the reminder, but I'm not going to choose to like feel those thoughts. I'm going to pivot, and like, this is an investment, and like, it will pay off. And like, that's it. And so it was eventually like the best thing that I've ever done. It's what made me start my podcast. And after starting my podcast, I realized that I wanted to build a separate community from my modeling one, where people don't just see me as a model or a pretty face, or, you know, I just found too, like, people followed me for modeling. They didn't follow me for all my manifestation stuff. Whereas like, if I created a new account, people could always transfer over. But like, I just didn't feel like, you know, I have clients that follow me, my agents follow me. Like, it is very much a work page in itself. And so I was like, I'm just going to make a new Instagram. It took like 3 months for me to decide whether or not to do that, because I do have such a large audience that it is nice to, you know, market to them as well and like help them. And I always get like so many messages saying like, thanks for sharing this, thanks for whatever, talking about this. But at the end of the day, like, I do want to keep my modeling career separate, because my modeling career is not me. It's not who I am, and it's not my dream anymore. It was a very unfulfilling career in a lot of ways because I just felt like I never got to have a say in anything. And I was constantly like objectified for my body and like the comments that you get and the DMs you get. And like, you know, any girl gets that on Instagram, like not just models, any girl. And it's just, it created a really ugh, space for me to be in. So anytime I use my main Instagram, I'm very intentional on like who I connect with. And like, I try not to spend too much time on it. I rather spend time on my manifesting one where I'm like, you know, being productive and like seeing cool things, the people that inspire me, instead of just spending so much time in this like negative realm. But I went on a tangent there.
No, I totally relate. When you get those messages from guys, it makes me so angry when it's on this account, because I'm like, this is my workplace. Like, it's a totally different beast. And yeah, anyway, that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, I can't even imagine like the size and scale of your account and obviously all of your wonderful, beautiful modeling pictures. It's like, yeah, unfortunately, some men think they have the right, they're entitled to strike up a certain type of conversation with you. So yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
What do you see yourself doing long term? Because I'm sure you have some kind of vision. You said you like the manifesting piece and you're very clear on when you do know what you want, you'll set that standard and won't accept anything less. Where would you like to be ultimately in terms of your spiritual work?
It's a really good question. And it's one that I've answered so many times in my journal, but I feel like because I've been doing the work pretty much since April and when I made that choice to invest in a program, I feel like it's changed so much and it's always changing in a way. Right now, I think for me is to get back to kind of what I was making financially. I don't want my income to be necessarily so much as modeling as I do want it to be in like my coaching career. And I also, you know, I do navigate, I struggle with things sometimes in coaching that with limiting beliefs, just like, oh, the market's oversaturated. And like, I don't like to be pitchy to people. It doesn't feel like authentic to me. And so just like navigating truly, because I'm so new to all of this, like what feels most authentic to me to move through and to attract clients who want to work with me and they want to pay. And, you know, that's kind of a non-negotiable, is like, I'm giving you my time and my resources and my knowledge. And I do think that, like, you know, I've had a few people inquire and they're just not ready to make that investment. And that's totally fine. Like, I wasn't ready to make the investment for years and years until like it came banging on my door. And I really just had no other option but to seek support and guidance from a coach and a mentor. And so like, ideally, like I always have this visualization when I'm in meditation where I'm like older, I'm maybe like 33 or something. And I have kids. I have always wanted a family and I'm able to live like a really beautiful and like peaceful and happy life while also doing this coaching stuff. And, you know, having my courses like pretty much automated where I can make passive revenue and passive income while still making an impact in people's lives. And like, I would love for my podcast to get bigger and to really like work on that. I'm not so sure on like if I would necessarily want to be signed, like, you know, they have like Dear Media and stuff. I'd have to look into it. And like, I'm not sure, I'm not even probably close to even getting looked at on that. But, you know, having like a host type thing, I'm not sure if I'd want to keep it separate or not. But yeah, I just think like bottom line for me is just to live a life that like I feel grateful for and that I feel happy to live, because I do struggle with depression and depressive tendencies. And like, to me, that is the biggest win, is to just live a consistently connected life full of gratitude and share positivity around that. But I might not be, you know, the most exciting answer, I feel, but for me, it's what feels most authentic and of course, like I want the millions and the glitz and the glam, and like you can have all of that, and like if you don't have the peace and the happiness and the gratitude, it doesn't mean much. So
yeah, I think you just said it there, the word peace. And that's all we really want when we're manifesting things. What we really want is to feel a certain way. And we think we need certain things externally in order for us to feel that way. But what we really want is the way that we're going to be and the way that we're going to feel, how much we're going to believe in ourselves and be confident in who we are when we have the thing that we're trying to manifest. So that is the most important thing for sure. Oh, this has been incredible. The last question I ask all of my guests is, what is your favorite thing about doing this work? And I'm going to ask you this in two ways. I want to know your favorite thing about doing this work in terms of modeling and also your coaching as well.
Ooh. Okay, so for modeling, my favorite thing would have to be connecting with girls all over the world and building, you know, friendships from staying in model apartments and just the opportunity to meet people from a different walk of life has always been something really interesting and important to me. And also the locations I get to travel to, I probably would have never lived in Greece for 6 weeks if I didn't model or been to half of the locations that I have. So it's a really beautiful opportunity to like see the world and meet really cool people. Coaching wise, I would say the impact that I'm able to have in someone's life in helping them see and realize their full potential and giving them skill sets that they can always fall back on. And also just knowing what it felt like for me to have that support, being able to give that to someone else is like invaluable. Like it's so precious and it's something really sacred in the coaching world where, you know, giving someone who's really has like a dark shade over their eyes, like kind of lifting the shade off and like showing them like what else is out there and what's possible for them. And that it's not confined to just certain people having success. It's anyone. And it's all just about the mindset and connection.
Oh, what beautiful words to end on. This has been incredible. Where can people find you?
So my modeling page is Stephanie M. Peterson. My manifesting page is Manifesting Magic Collective. I also have a podcast, Manifesting Magic. Those are my main stuff. It's where I'm at. It's where we can hang out.
Amazing. I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to see what happens in the next year, 2 years. I think you're going to be pretty big. So this has been incredible. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Yay. Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode today, let me know by sharing it to your stories and tagging me on Instagram at IamLizRoberta, which is where I'm usually hanging out between recording podcast episodes. You can download my free business activation there too and see what gorgeous groups I'm running right now, whether it's Spiritual Coaching Academy, Sacred Sisters, or my High Level Elevate Mastermind. And one last thing, remember to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, because I will be back with a new episode next week. So sending lots of love, and I'll see you then.